Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. As always, thank you so much for joining us. Now, I know the show is all about change. And listen, guys, I know change when it's thrust upon us. You know, you do the big gulp, like, can I do this? So to help you navigate change when those waters start to get a little tricky, I have a free communication style assessment for you. You get two reports, one showing your superpowers, your natural communication skills. And of course, the other one is your blind spots, which probably is more important, right? To understand where I don't have strength. I don't like the word weakness, but where I don't have the strength so I could put people in place, hopefully, to navigate with me. So go to whitmanassoc.com/CSA, communication style assessment, CSA. And that is my gift to you. Now, my motivational quote today is by the amazing Oprah Winfrey. And Oprah says, doing the best at this moment puts you in the best place for the next moment. Now, I network a lot, meet a ton of people, new people every week. I feel like no matter whatever the network platform, there always seems to be more and more conversations around mindset, skill set. And this is my favorite. My guests and I are going to talk about this today. So it's mindset, skill set, and get off your asset, which I'm all about. Like, let's get bleep done, right? So I love this idea of using these three frames of reference as we kind of go through our life, right? And try to continue to grow and catapult results. So first, I've done a bunch of internal work on myself. It's not easy. It's hard, but building a healthy mindset and, it takes effort, but for me, it's totally worth it. Second thing is the skill set. I consider myself a lifelong learner because I feel like if I don't keep learning and growing myself or my skills specifically, then I might start to shrivel up and die. Not an option for me, right? I know that was very dramatic. And the last one is get off your asset, right? Is my favorite. All the inner work, learning, and change we create in our life is just nothing if we can't put into practice and use these changes, challenges, skills to form the life that, oh, by the way, we should desire and do desire. And applying all three is how we can literally create magic in our lives by creating actual tangible results through that application. So that's why the get off your asset, I think, is really important. They all are, but that one to me resonates. Well, of course, I have an expert today, and she's a good friend of mine. Her name is Sally Wagner. Now, Sally is a speaker, author, lawyer, real estate broker, and instructor and life coach. Yes, she does not sleep, my friends. Your what's next strategist and life alchemist, Sally incorporates outcome-based techniques such as EFT, emotional freedom techniques, NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, love NLP, and trauma-aware modalities to help you get concrete results as you ditch those unwanted behaviors and habits, fears and phobias, limiting beliefs, which we all have, and decisions that keep you from living your best life. Sally's signature coaching program is called Reboot Your Thinking, how to install and uninstall mind apps. Just love that visual. Please help me welcome Sally to the show. So Sal, thanks for being on. I'm loving that you're here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, I always love our conversations. Yes. All right. So of course I have to talk about, I know you call it MSG. Tell us what that means and it maybe incorporate why it's important. So what does it mean? And then why is it important?
Absolutely. So MSG stands for, as you said, mindset, skill set, get off your asset. And those three concepts really encapsulate a lot of very important concepts in life, in coaching, in success, in getting the results we want to see in life, right? Mindset is everything. I think it was Bob Proctor. He said it's 95% mindset and only 5% about everything else.
Right.
And it's not just thinking happy thoughts like Peter Pan, right? There's a lot more to it than that. And then there's skill set. We can have the right mindset. If we don't have the right skill set, not a lot's going to happen. Sometimes the most important skill set we can have is to learn how to have the right mindset because we're not taught typically.
Absolutely.
And so that's a very important part of it. And then, as you said, you know, without the action, without get off your asset, nothing happens. And the rest is just a nice philosophy. So we really need all three of those to come together in the right way to move us in the direction we want to move in life so we can have conscious choice and power over our own lives.
I love that, conscious choice and power. And I think oftentimes, and I know you must see this with your clients, Sally, right? I think we feel I don't have a choice. I hate my job, but I have a mortgage. I don't have a choice. I have to stay here. So I think that we feel we disempower ourselves by these mindsets that, well, I can't do that. And we think we don't have a choice. And I've said this several times on the show, people who say to me, well, I don't have a choice. Usually my response is pause for a second. You do have a choice. If you choose to do nothing, that's okay, but you're making a choice. So don't take that power away from yourself by saying, I don't have a choice. We always have a choice. The choice could be to do nothing, right? So I totally get that. The other thing is, and I kind of agree with Bob Proctor and I kind of don't, and just here's why. I do believe that mindset is so darn important. But what I find a lot of times with my clients too, they get stuck in, let me learn about mindset. Let me buy one more program. Let me do one more thing. Let me do one more journaling and let me do meditation, whatever it is that they're trying to change their mindset. But then they never take the action. And I think that's where we shoot ourselves in the foot. Yes, mindset is important. Yes, we have to develop that. So the mindset. Now you have to develop the skills, action. There's a little bit of action in that. And then now that you know how to do it, how do we reiterate, practice it, right? Because I think life is all about practice too. It's not like you learn a concept and you're an expert at it. It just doesn't work that way. So for me, get off your asset, I think is super, super, they're all important. But to me, if we don't have that action, nothing's ever going to change. I don't know. What do you see with your clients? I'm curious.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's that hesitation and that's part of the limiting belief and decision, right?
Yeah.
That we think we have to know everything. We have to be perfect. All those beliefs and decisions that we make that preempt us from taking the action. And the point is take massive imperfect action now, right? Do it today. And the rest will come together. And those limiting beliefs and decisions that we make, that's all part of the mindset. And we need the new skills to take care of those. The reboot program, you know, we uninstall those apps. Apps are paradigms. We've been talking about paradigms forever, right?
Yes.
And it's hard to conceptualize, at least for me. And so I updated the language because we all get what apps do on our phones and our other devices. They slow things down. They drain the battery. They have competing purposes. And we have the same thing going on in our subconscious mind. It's those kinds of things that hold us back from taking the action because we have that app that's saying, you have to be perfect before you do it. You need to know one more thing. And the truth is, it's not what you don't know that holds you back. It's what you do know that's not true that holds you back.
That's right.
So all those apps, those things that we're telling ourselves that are not true, like I have to be perfect. Clearly that's not true. And yet we believe it. And then we take action based on that.
Yeah. And yes. And the action could be limited because of the limiting beliefs, right? So that's how we stall ourselves out. Mm-hmm. But I love that. And I think I said that in the intro, that app and delete and reboot and update our apps. I do think that's important because when you think about it, right, our brain is the best computer that exists. Yeah. We just have to tap into all of that energy. The other thing, it's so funny when you talk about limiting beliefs. And I remember I did a class, you know me, I'm always in classes, Sally, right? But I did a class locally and one of my friends, right? She sees angels and she gets angel messages and gifts she's had her whole life. So fast forward, I go to this event and we're journaling and talking and asking questions and peeling back our onions, right? And really doing some deep work. And she went around the room to say, you know, after all of, we were in deep meditation and journaling and really kind of just writing stuff out. So she had messages from our angels based on all of this energy that we were expelling. She goes around the room, Sally, and she skips me. I'm like, why did she just skip me? I go, oh, I bet it's really bad. See, we go to the bad place. I bet my angel's saying something really bad. So she wants to talk to me privately later, right? This is what I went to the bad place.
Of course.
Fast forward, she comes back to me, stands in front of me, hands on the hips. Now, I've had several messages from my angels. So my angels actually harass me. They mock me and they call me an idiot, right? Not literally, but they laugh at me. So she stood in front of me, hands on her hips. She goes, you. What do my angels have? What am I doing wrong? Right. Again, go to the bad place. That's where our brain goes. She said to me, you're afraid of success. Sally, I had never thought about it. And I looked at her and I said, I think I am. She goes, why? And this is what came up through this workshop. I was afraid of success. I was pushing success away because I felt that if I became successful, people would judge me and think I was a crook, that I was doing illegal things to be successful, to make the money. Fast forward, it was a limiting belief from when I was 7 years old that we kind of uncovered. And I had to work on that to say, whoa, it's okay to be successful because truly my spirit is the more success I have, the more success I share, the bigger I can show up, more philanthropic I can be. That's who I am, not the crook. So isn't that fascinating? So that's the mindset. Now, that's hard to work on, though, to get through that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where EFT and NLP come in. Because, you know, we can say affirmations all day long and they're wonderful and I do it. And it's not going to necessarily get to that level where we need to make the change, right? Where those apps live in our subconscious mind.
Yep.
And so that's, you mentioned energy. There's a lot of energy involved in all of this. And that's what EFT and NLP do. They reach those levels. And so that you make true lasting change at the energetic level of your being. Because we all know if it's a matter, at least from my life, I know if it's a matter of willpower, I've already lost the battle, right?
That's right.
How many times have we said, not going to eat that piece of cake. And then the next thing you know, the cake is gone. And then some. So it's things like that. And we don't want to be, and I don't mean it in a bad way, wasting, but we don't want to be directing our energy to willpower. We want to be directing our energy to creation. Absolutely. And manifesting and living life the way we want to live it. And willpower is not the way to do it. We want real lasting change, not just willpower.
And I just want to comment on EFT and the NLP. So the EFT, I've done sessions with other practitioners through the years, right? Where I've had energy blocks. I knew I had energy blocks, pain here, pain there. It's remarkable because it's moving the energy, literally. So, you know, I did a lot of work. I had a damaged knee. I had torn my meniscus many, many years ago. Well, for about a decade, I lived with that pain. Before I'd move, I would have to think how to put my foot. And it was in the middle of the night. It would wake me up. I mean, it was painful. And I worked with this energy healer I had met with years ago at a networking event. And we did tapping. We did muscle testing. So she did a whole bunch of different things on me. And don't you know, in about 2 months, pain was gone. I'm knocking on wood. That was probably about 4 years ago. And I haven't had the pain since. I don't think about it anymore. So we really have these energetic blocks. We just had to figure out where it came from. And it connected to a damaged part of my body, right? Because it was already weakened. So it's easy for the energy to settle there. So I love the EFT and the NLP. I love NLP, the neuro-linguistic programming, because, and you kind of said this, affirmations are good, right? And we have to fill our brain with these healthy, good thoughts, right? Because that we don't want to burden it with negative thoughts, which we have more negative than we have positive. That's just the way the brain works. Yes. But we have control, again, and a choice through the NLP skill set. we can literally change the pathway of our thinking and reconfigure our brain pathways and take alternate routes to the right. And that's the whole idea with the NLP. So these are wonderful tools you use to really get into the nooks and crannies to help us update our apps, to reboot, do that whole reboot. I just love that imagery.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. And it is all about energy. I'm not a quantum physicist. However, I studied physics in college, started out as a physics major, moved to theology. So it was physics to metaphysics. And I still have had that passion for it. So I read a lot. I study a lot, as you do. My understanding of what quantum physics tells us is that everything is energy. It just moves at a different frequency. Even things that we believe are solid are whirling little vortices of energy. And everything is energy. Our thoughts are energy. Our bodies are the table in front of me, moving at different frequencies. And so what that tells me and a lot of other people is that energy affects energy. So our thoughts can affect what we perceive as our physical reality. And so we can affect healing. I've experienced miraculous healing in my life from illness and all kinds of things. And it's all about the energy. And when you work at that level, amazing things can happen.
Yeah. So it's beyond the thoughts. It's the energy, the frequency that we transmit. And I think, again, just the things I've learned, so you correct me if I'm wrong, that the highest frequency is love. When we're in a place of love, that's our highest frequency. And I think it's when we're in fear that is very low frequency. Is that right? Wrong? Like, really, correct me if I'm wrong.
So yeah, fear, guilt, shame, those kinds of things, anger, those are very low frequency. Higher frequencies are, as you said, love, joy, compassion, those kinds of things as we move up the energy spectrum and those higher frequencies. And you can feel it. My husband is a chiropractor. When he was in school, one of his professors said, when you come in here, leave all the worries, all the troubles, all the everything out on that tree. And so people would visualize it. Well, guess what? The tree died. Was it correlation? Was it causation? Was it just who knows what it was? And yet that was a visible sign of what low energy frequencies can do in the world.
Well, who was Yakamoto? I think was the scientist with the water.
Yes.
Right. Oh, the transformation. He took the same water and put, I think it was classical music and talked to it every day, right? Yes. In this very loving voice. And the water got cleaner, right? Mm-hmm. On the other side, right? In the controlled environment, he was playing, I think it was like heavy metal. Yeah. And he would say nasty things to the water. Yeah. And literally the water got brown. Same exact water, two different environments. One was positive with high frequency. They say classical music has that higher frequency. And then the heavy metal. Not that if you people like heavy metal, that's okay. You're damaging your brain. That's all I'm saying. No, you're not. But doing that in that derogatory kind of environment, the water literally got putrid and got black. So
And he could even discern the differences in the crystals that the water formed. And so like the high frequency exposure formed beautiful, just amazing crystalline shapes in the water. And then the low frequency, it was just like distorted and jagged and just not good, as you said. So it all of those things affect us. Well, guess what? We're mostly made of water. So what's going to happen to us?
That's right. Let's talk about the, I feel, and I see this with my clients, not often, because my clients are the best ever, but sometimes I find people are what I would call autopilot. And I think you call it the same.
Yeah.
And we go through life I get up, I do this, I do this, I go to work, I come home, I make dinner, I do laundry, I go to bed, repeat, right? Rinse and repeat the hamster wheel. So I think people go through life on autopilot and learning to make, and you mentioned conscious choices. Why is that really, really important? And, you know, I'm all about giving people actionable tips, right? So how do we go from autopilot to conscious choice? And how do we do that, Sally?
Yeah. So the first thing is awareness, and I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, the whole thing, you know, and I've lived that life that looks good on paper and doesn't feel so good inside. I kind of jokingly and not really call it the life that was created by the alien overlords, because that's how it feels. It feels like, you know, this life that was planned and created by somebody else, as if I'm just a supporting actor in my own life rather than star of the show. And that's because we run on autopilot. You know, we get so many messages from society, the world, our families, to be a certain way, look a certain way, wear certain clothes, own certain cars in order to be worthy and to be loved. And those are, put that in the category of things, you know, that are not true, that hold you back. And so we run on autopilot where, you know, those apps are running our lives and we just go through the motions and it's not really our choices. You know, I've done that. When I met my first husband, the first night we met, he said, oh, you should be a lawyer. Well, guess what? I went to law school. I'm a lawyer, living somebody else's life. And we do that. We all do that, I think, to some extent, in one way or another. And that's not a good way to live. That's the life that feels yucky inside. And so the first step is awareness. And I remember saying to someone, if I don't do this, meaning changing my life, taking a step in a new direction, I'll die. Not that I meant I would really die, but that I would cease to live. Yeah. And so I think we get to that point where it's like, I've got to make the change or I'm just going to cease to live. And it's that awareness. And once we make that decision, so it's that decision that is the first step that comes after awareness. So that's one thing. And so as you expand your awareness, just ask yourself, you know, why am I doing this? Ask yourself those questions. What makes me come alive? One of the most powerful questions that I ask myself regularly is, why is this important to me? Is it important because it's truly important to me, or is it because somebody told me it should be important? Wow. And the question that is even deeper, talk about peeling back the layers of that onion. It's an infinite onion. And the question is, who are you when you're not doing what you do? When you're not being a parent, a child, a spouse, a partner, a business owner, whatever it is, who are you when you're not doing that? And as you begin to contemplate that question, that awareness will lead you out of the alien overlords and into the life that you choose for yourself.
That, you know, there was so much in that, that, you know, people go back and listen to everything that Sally just said, because there was quite a few of little tips in there, but the awareness, and I think the better, we have to practice that though, because we're on that hamster wheel and we don't realize we're on the hamster wheel. So we go without stopping, pausing and thinking. The other thing you said that it popped into my mind is, when things, you got to the point where you thought, if I don't stop this, I'm literally going to die. Not literally put you in the ground, die, but you felt like your soul was shriveling up and your life was just, you know, ugh, like, this is it, right? So you have that feeling of this is it. I find that good is the enemy of great. I just said this to one of my sons yesterday. Good is the enemy of great. When things are good, we do nothing. It's good. It's easy. And we don't try to improve ourselves because things are good. They're not great. You heard what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
But when things get bad, that's when we say, ugh, I can't go on like this. I have to create a change. I have to do something differently. I have to go and learn something, whatever it is, right? Explore X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. Good is the enemy of great. So as soon as we hit that good status, we forget to keep growing, we forget the neurolinguistic programming, we forget to implement, then things get bad again, and trauma, whatever bad things happen, because, oh, by the way, right, Sally, bad things happen to all of us. You and I are not exempt from that, even though we've done all this work. Crap happens. It's life. So as soon as we're under the, then we go into action again of, oh, I think I better do something. But most people stop at good. And I really believe that if we, all of us as a universe, right, as the world, if each of us take ownership in ourself and we go from good to great instead of stopping at good, whoa, think of all the cool things that can happen in the world, right?
Absolutely. And it's the NLP concept of problem, not problem. You know, when things are really bad, yeah, we are absolutely aware of the problem, but when it's good, it's not problem, right? So we don't have to look at the problem, whatever it is. And we just kind of go through life on autopilot.
Yeah.
Not living the life that makes us come alive. And that is a tagline that I use a lot. And it comes from a quote from Howard Thurman, who was the mentor to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And he said, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and then go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. And I think that's what we all owe to ourselves and to the world. And it's kind of echoed in some words from Russell Brand, who said that we are all in recovery to recover the person we are intended to be.
Oh, I love that.
And as we recover that person and discover by peeling off those layers of the onion, then we can live the life that makes us come alive, and we can move from good to great and beyond.
And beyond, yeah. And it's funny, I think my listenership on this show, it gets higher and higher, right? The people that are clicking in, and I see my numbers going up, and that makes me so happy because they're finding value in these conversations about that deep work we have to do. And I think that my listeners are willing to say, oh, I like that concept from Sally. Let me apply it. And the next week I have another guest and they go, oh, I like that concept. So we can, you know, whether we use all of Connie's philosophy or all of Sally's philosophy, that's not what you and I are about. It's what can you learn from me that after you leave me, you apply something and you're just a little bit better off. So sometimes it's a modge podge of different approaches that when put together become magical for me, right? It's not a one size fits all. And I know you believe in that as well. So I love how you have framed this out with the the mindset skill set and then get off your asset. Because I think that arch, right, of learning, that arch of implementation, that's how we gain back that control. We have a couple of minutes. Can you give some concrete steps that we can take to implement that mindset skill set? We didn't really talk deeply about the skill set, but everybody, I think, knows what that means, right? It's about you see the mindset shift. What do you need? Is it meditation, journaling, whatever, right? What do you need to learn? And then once you learn it, right, develop your skill, you have to actually apply it, right? And that's get off your asset. So what are some of the concrete things that we can implement so that we can blend all three of them, because all three are really needed?
Yeah. So I think they're fairly simple, and it has to do with goals and goal setting, which is part of the skill set because it's a definite skill.
Yeah.
So the first thing is write your goal down. I've seen studies that show that 80% of Americans don't have goals for their lives. So just thinking about your goals puts you in the top 20%, and you have a 43% chance of success. When you write your goals down, you increase your chances of success to 56%. So then that would be the first step. The second step is to find somebody to report to, have an accountability buddy. It's that accountability factor that you tell somebody what your goal is. And we tend not to tell our goals because we're afraid we'll fail, right? Take that risk and tell your goal, share your goal with somebody, and think of action steps that you can move in the direction of your goal. This is part of establishing a system and a process, which is far more important than the goal.
Yeah.
So that's your second step. to share it with somebody and have action steps. And when you do that, you increase your chances of success to 64%. And then the third step is weekly progress reports back to that goal buddy. That is super accountability factor.
Yes.
If you do that, you increase your chances of success to 76%.
Remarkable.
Yeah, three simple steps.
It's funny, in my 9-week program, it's funny because a lot of people come because they're nervous about sales. Sometimes they're not nervous about sales, but they know they're missing opportunities through the conversations, right? Because we're not all real good communicators. So a couple of different reasons, but I laugh because I do an intake form and then I have a one-on-one with people and I discuss what are their goals. And then as we go through, it's interesting because sometimes the goal that they've chosen, it's so far down the pike that they have more foundational things that they need to do before they could get there, but they don't know that, right? Because we have blind spots. That's why they hire people like me and you. So that's the first thing, that we pick a goal, but that goal gets reiterated and we create action steps so the goal happens. The other thing, we meet weekly, group coaching, because, and what's your homework? Let's talk about it. Let's share each other's questions, right? Because I want everybody to learn from each other. That's another group dynamic, but it's an accountability measure because most people won't do the work, right? And then what was the third one? The accountability buddy that... they're accountable to me, but they get accountable to each other as well, which is really kind of cool to say, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you're covering all those steps in what you do, which is amazing. And they're all important, right? Because we have to, and it's all part of the MSG. It just brings it all together with those three steps, that you have your goal, you have action steps to get you toward your goal, and you have accountability reporting on your progress every week.
Yeah, I have one client. She's a physical therapist and does energy work also. And she's been doing it like 50 years. And so the end of her conversation, she would normally say, well, okay, if you'd like to schedule another appointment, like reach out to me. And meanwhile, the person was like, oh, okay. They probably would have bought a package from her, but she never thought that way. So this past week, we had our one-on-one where I watched a video of her selling, not selling, of her delivering her services. And I showed her where there are opportunities of how she can help the person further. And it wasn't all about her making money. There were things that she could have done. She's like, oh, that's a good idea. But the funny thing is, by the end, she had created a package on the spot with this person. So I giggled. I go, who are you? And what have you done with? And she was like, I know, 9 weeks ago, I was. And so we had such a good giggle over it. But I thought, wow, not only do you, because again, we reiterated, we perfected. And by the way, they're not perfect yet. I said, here's your package. Just let's go with that. Let's work with that. The more important thing is having the courage to offer the package. And this one, she created a package on the spot for the client, right? Which is really where we want to ultimately go. Because sometimes our package that we've created, that person in front of you, they do need you. Maybe they don't need all of it. So she created this package specifically for this client. So we had a good giggle yesterday about that. But the goals are critical. But here's the other thing, your goals can change. How you implement could change what you're creating. Sometimes good is good enough, right, to move forward. But that reiteration, that practice, that whatever that is, we're not perfect right out of the gate. So stop thinking you're going to be. Just get it out there, right? Action, action. See, to me, that's the action. Get off your assets. Yes. That's the action.
Absolutely.
Piece, right?
Yeah. You're right. It's constant course correction. You know, when the NASA projects went to the moon, what they were like 87% off course, and they still made it there and back by constant course correction.
Constant. And we have to do the same thing, right?
Absolutely. In our lives, that's what it's all about. You take a step, you reassess, you course correct, and then you take the next step.
Yeah. And it could be bite size, right, Sal? Like you with your, you're like, just do a little piece, this little piece. Right? Yeah. And then next time we're going to do this next little piece. It's just one step at a time. Don't look at, I watched a movie the other night with my husband. They had rock climbing in it. It wasn't the premise of the story, but they had rock climbing. The girl had never rock climbed. And the person who was coaching her said, Don't look up and see the ends. You're never, don't forget about that. What's the next place I need to put my hands? That yeah. next, and it could be literally moving from here to here, right? That mm-hmm. that 3-inch grab to the next level on the wall, rock wall climbing thingy. And then where's the next foot you need to be? So I thought, wow, isn't that life? It's that one, like, what's the next little thing I can do? And then what's the next little thing I can do? Stop looking at the mountain, right? Let's look at the footings right beneath us right here, right now. What's that next little baby step we can take?
Yeah. When you're in your sphere of genius,
yep.
You're just going to keep moving in the direction that it guides you, and you're going to course correct, and you're going to get to where you're going. You don't need to stay all the way to the top of the staircase to get to the top, right? Just one step at a time.
That's right. That's right. Well, and that's the mindset that's developing that. So each step on the staircase, oh, I need to learn that skill. The mindset sees it. The skill yes. set goes in. Now let me action. Okay, mm-hmm. let me go to the next step, right? That's yeah. really life. It's like a building blocks that really we work is. On. It's work though, Sal, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's joyous work.
It's joyous. I do. My husband laughs. He tells me every time, and I can't help myself most of the time, but if I'm coaching or I'm talking about sales, even in networking, people will connect with me on LinkedIn and say, oh, I love your energy. You literally lit up when you started talking about changing the sales game and talking about sales and talking about your change. And I giggle and I go, well, because I love talking about that. Of course I light up, right?
Of course,
it's yeah. my jam, right? It's yeah. my jam. So absolutely. Yeah, Yeah, it's joyous. What was it? How'd you say it? It was joyous work. Joyous work. I love that. I'm going to use that, Sal. So here's the deal, guys. If you need more Sally and you're thinking, oh, this woman is talking directly to me, you can email her if you have specific questions. Go to S for Sally, SWagner@Sally with an IE, not a Y, Sally Wagner Enterprises. plural.com. I will put that in the show notes. If you want to go to Sally's website and see all the cool things she's doing, it's just simply sallywagner.com. And again, Sally is S-A-L-L-I-E Wagner.com. And I will put that in the show notes. Sally, thank you so much for being on. Every time I talk to you, I feel like I just resonate with you philosophically. I think we come from the same place, but I love your process of the reboot and the apps, because I think that's such tangible, concrete ideas for us to say, I need to delete that app. I need to upload that app. And then it becomes, that's part of that choice process, but I'm visual. And I feel like that's such a visual, tangible thing for me to lock into, to create that change. So I just love talking to you and just always feel like I learned something after our conversation. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. And likewise.
Yeah. Always a pleasure to hang out with you. And I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question and build and discover together that no matter what change you're going through, it's probably easier than you think. I think sometimes we make it harder than it needs to be. So hopefully between my guests and myself, we've created or given you some strategies. Sally shared a bunch of tips, right? Raising awareness and then the mindset skill set, get off your assets and all the other things we talked about. So if you missed anything, go back, listen to the show, take those notes, reach out to Sally, right? Sally Wagner. .com or reach out to her at sallywagner@sallywagnerenterprises.com. Thank you again for tuning in. I am truly honored to have each of you on this journey with me as we navigate change, realize it's easier than we think. And I always hope that between my guests and I and our tips, stories, strategies, ideas, just help you move the needle on whatever change you're going through. So you create, by the way, the life you desire. But even more important, I think that we deserve. So again, thank you for joining us weekly. I truly am honored that you're here with me, and I hope that you tune in next week because I'd love to see you. Have a great one. Sally, thank you again.